We have been on a journey together over these last 7 weeks. We took a break because we had a youth lock-in, and about the fourth week into our six-week series, we allowed Caleb to come and bring a message on his trips to Nicaragua. I might mention that they have made it back to the main ministry center in Nicaragua, and they're in fact on the way back home. So everything has gone really well with their mission trip. And I think they're supposed to arrive today sometime. I probably should know that, but I... 3 a.m.? Thank you, Ben. Thank you. They're arriving at 3 a.m. tonight. That's why we're leaving the car parked over at behind Withers Brandon. Okay, now I understand. So great to know that they are safe and moving back this way. But then our time of... Points number 4, 5, and 6 have taken us to this particular day. And today we're going to be looking at this idea of how we will treasure church membership as a gift. It's been an opportunity for us to look into God's Word and to be reminded of the connection we have with the body of Christ. And so we'll let Dr. Tom Rayner have a few words with us today as well. Imagine a child facing two scenarios. In the first scenario, mom tells Johnny that he must clean his room. It must be spotless. He will probably have to put hours into his efforts. Anything less than perfection is not acceptable. Whether he likes it or not, that room must be cleaner than it has ever been before. In the second scenario, mom tells Johnny that someone has given him an incredible gift. It's wrapped and ready to open. She increases his excitement by letting him know his gift will be one of the greatest he has ever received or ever will receive. It will bring him countless hours of joy. Okay, so if Johnny has the choice of scenario 1 or scenario 2, which door does he walk behind? Or at least I know which one I would walk behind. Both of those scenarios may seem a little bit unlikely, but certainly the choice is obvious. Every church member faces two distinct scenarios where the choice is just as obvious. In the first option, we approach church membership similar to country club membership noted in chapter 1. We're joining the church to see what we can get out of it. The pastor is to feed us through his sermons. We specified an acceptable range for the length of the sermon. The music is to fit our style exactly. Any deviations are not acceptable. The programs and ministries are for our benefit. We will determine what we like and don't like. We are members who expect perks, privileges, and service. So what happens when the country club church member is asked to contribute to the work of the church? What happens if such a member is asked to serve in the nursery for a few weeks? What happens if the member is asked to lead a fifth grade boys Bible study class? We all run and duck for cover. Okay, no. The response is predictable. One country club member may agree to the request out of obligation. He or she has a legalistic approach in serving. It's not that she wants to do it. After all, country club church membership is not about working. It's about being served. But since he or she's been asked, then they grudgingly accept and begin the ministry with a bad attitude. They won't last long. Other country club church members just get mad when they're asked. Some may respond that they did their time in earlier years. They make ministry sound like a prison sentence. Still, some refuse to offer a reason why they won't contribute. They're simply indignant that they were even asked. And yet another group of country club church members get angry toward the pastor. After all, that's what we pay them to do. Those pastors are just lazy, trying to get out of work. And there's a second option in church membership, though, that we can also consider. It's the biblical option that sees membership as a gift, something to be treasured. Membership means we have the opportunity to serve and give rather than the legalistic option to do so. Our entire attitude is different when we approach membership the biblical way. So, to start with today, let's take a look at this idea, the biblical perspective of the gift of church membership. What does that really look like? What would a biblical perspective of the gift of church membership look like? Dr. Tom Rainer gives his personal testimony. He says, I became a follower of Christ as a teenager. My high school football coach, Joe Hendrickson, showed me a verse in the Bible that said, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, in Romans 3:23. His coach explained to him that everyone is a sinner. No one deserves salvation. Everyone deserves death. But his coach showed him that Jesus took the punishment for him. Jesus was our substitution on the cross. Jesus became sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says it this way, He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Dr. Tom goes on to say, after his coach shared the gospel with him, he repented of his sins and placed his faith in Jesus Christ. Acts 3:19 says, Therefore repent and turn back so that your sins may be wiped out. The seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. When we repent of sin and place our faith in Jesus Christ, we receive the gift of salvation. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this not for yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Throughout the Bible, we see verse after verse that speaks of the gift of salvation, the gift of Christ's work for us, and the gift that means we cannot earn salvation through our own works. When we receive the gift of salvation, we become part of the body of Christ. Right before the Apostle Paul notes some of the gifts of the Spirit, he says these words in 1 Corinthians 12, Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it, and God has placed these in the church. Do you see how that looks and what's taking place? We received a gift, the free gift of eternal salvation. It includes forgiveness of sins by Christ's death on the cross. It includes adoption by God the Father. It includes the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and it includes becoming a part of the body of Christ. Membership in the body of Christ, in the church, is in fact a gift from God. It's not a legalistic obligation. It's not country club perks. It's not a license for entitlements. It's a gift. A gift from God, a gift that we should treasure with great joy and anticipation. So as we see, certainly the Apostle Paul shares in many ways the biblical perspective of this idea of church membership being a gift, but then we want to look at this question, universal church or local church? What does that look like? There's a great statement of faith that has been said down through the centuries of time. And many times you think it's only being recited by the Roman Catholic Church. But really, the word Catholic, anybody know what that word Catholic really means? It actually means universal. So in this great faith statement, it says, I believe in the one true, holy Catholic Church. But that Catholic is with a small c. It means we believe that Christ's body is far bigger than Philippi Baptist Church. It's not just limited to who we see present here, but that we are all members of that body. So what does that look like? Universal church, local church. Some will argue that the body of Christ refers only to the universal church. The universal church means all believers everywhere for all ages. They, in fact, would be right. But the universal church and the local church are not mutually exclusive. To the contrary, the majority of the New Testament books are written about and to local churches. The book of Acts provides a historical narrative of the Spirit's work of the churches. And listen to the names, and they're all recorded in the book of Acts. Jerusalem, Antioch, Cyprus, in Antioch, in Pisidia, in Iconium, in Lystra, in Pamphylia, in Macedonia, in Thyatira, in Thessalonica, in Berea, in Athens, in Corinth, in Caesarea, in Ephesus, in Troas, in Rome, in Malta, and many, many others are listed throughout the pages of the book of Acts. Why are they listed? It connects us with this idea that it has always been about the local church. Look at how many New Testament books are written to specific local churches. On Sunday night, those of us that were here a couple weeks ago, I taught them all the books of the New Testament in 10 minutes. Everybody that was here, there's probably 17 or 18 of us here, everyone could recite all 27 of the books of the New Testament after we finished in 10 minutes. And many of those names that they learned were names from places. Romans, 1st and 2nd, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, right, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. All of those were written because they were local churches that Paul was pouring his life. God's Spirit was speaking through him into the local church so that they could be not only instructed, but given this message of great news. There are also Paul's books that were written to individuals, very specific church contexts. We have Timothy, 1st and 2nd. It's not because Timothy wrote them. It's because Paul wrote them to this young pastor named Timothy. Titus. Titus is close to what other two books? It's at the very end of all those T's. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. 1st and 2nd Timothy, and then Titus. And we're going to eventually get to Revelation at the end. Philemon was there. The name of one individual that Paul had correspondence with. And we have the privilege of sharing in that same message today. Even the book of Revelation has the context of letters to local churches. There were seven local churches that he said, to the angel of the church, I'm going to write these things. And those names were given to us. So what's the point of all those names? It's an invalid excuse to say you will limit your involvement to the universal church. The Bible is clear that we are to be connected to a specific church in a specific context. And whether that's Philippi Baptist Church or the Philippi Church of the Nazarene or Haven of Hope or St. Elizabeth's Catholic Church, wherever it is in Barber County that you have found a place to connect, that's what we're called to do. To find an opportunity to be a part of people's lives and to share in this journey of faith together. So we have a biblical perspective of the gift of church membership. We have an understanding of universal church and local church. It's both and. And then may we understand the gift that's been given to us. Understand the gift. Church membership is a gift. A gift must be treasured. It should not be taken for granted or considered lightly. Because it is a gift, we must always be thankful for it. And when we're thankful for something, we have less time and energy to be negative. When we receive a gift with true appreciation, we naturally want to respond to the giver. We therefore see service to God as a natural outflow of the joy of our salvation and the consequent joy of our church membership. We consider it a privilege to serve the King, so we look for those opportunities at the church where we serve. When we receive a gift, we respond with appreciation to the giver's entire family. Other church members who have received the gift of salvation are adopted sons and daughters of God just as you are. They are not perfect, just as you aren't perfect. They are hypocrites, just as you are. But because of our abundant joy from receiving the gift of salvation, we serve other church members with the same joy. Healthy church membership means we have found joy in being last instead of seeking our way and being first. Out of Matthew 20, 26 through 28, it's the place where Jesus' disciples are seeking to be first, to get their own way. Jesus then brings them together and tells them their attitudes stink. Okay, he didn't use the word stink, but he did mean it. He said, Jesus says that he means for them to be his true followers. He puts it this way. It must not be like that among you. On the contrary, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man, who did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So, can we get the picture? Church membership is a gift. We respond to gifts with gratitude. And one key way we express our gratitude is to serve like Jesus did and like he told us to. It may be a guess that churches, in fact, would be a lot healthier if we as members decided to serve and to be last. And in fact, it can start with us. So this sixth pledge, and this is where I cue Allison and her minions. You got a few minions that can help you today? Great. Our sixth pledge, when we have an attitude of entitlement, we have a lousy attitude. We're always looking for what we rightly deserve, and we get indignant when we don't get our way. But when we see life, salvation, and church membership as gifts, then our whole perspective changes. We don't have any sense of entitlement or expectation. To the contrary, we want to be last and receive the least because that's the way Jesus did it, and we want to be more like him. Church membership is a gift, a joyous gift, and we have the privilege of treating it as such. So we're thankful that Faith so willingly has volunteered, along with Allison, to hand out our church pledges. I decided, as Corrine told me today, I think, is she even here today? Yay! She said this is the first of the six she's been able to hear. Since I've been on this series. So great to have Corrine with us as she shared, of course, you know, with the duties of nursery and all that kind of thing. But I just went ahead and listed all the six pledges that we've walked through together. I do not want you to turn these in. These are for your use and your use only. But on the back side of the pledges 1 through 5, you will see the six pledge that we're focusing on today. There are 5 questions there, as has been the tradition, that you are more than welcome to use in your own private devotional time as you share in your time with God throughout this week. So this sixth pledge, I am a church member. This membership is a gift. When I received the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, I became a part of the body of Christ. I soon thereafter identified with a local body and was baptized. And now I am humbled and honored to serve and to love others in our church. I pray that I will never take my membership for granted, but see it as a gift and an opportunity to serve others and to be a part of something so much greater than any one person or member. We're very excited about the membership classes, the beginning connection classes that are going on right now. We're so appreciative of Wanda and Jim Steele doing their middle school curriculum on this particular topic. Chandler and Gage Poling and Noah and Anthony Hinkle are walking through that time in their middle Sunday school class. And then we have Dorian, and we've got Sam Ferguson and Grant Daddiesman that are working with Corrine and Ashley Willingham and Sarah Ferguson on Sunday nights. And then it's a privilege to have Penny Adair and Pete Ferguson and Stephanie Hinkle to be with us in our adult classes so far. But we encourage any that want to come and to be a part of what we're learning and teaching together, to be a part of that even this evening at 5:30, and then we go into our small groups. But there is something about being connected to the body of Christ that is real and significant. If we did a poll today of how many years of church membership we have present, it would be a wonderful number. Some of you have been members for 60-plus years in a local body of Christ. And it's a beautiful thing to see. It's a beautiful thing to understand that we are connected to Jesus and that it is not a country club mentality. I've seen so many examples of the opposite of that, of service that comes out of the hearts of so many that are here. And it's just a good reminder for us all that we have been put here to serve and to see the kingdom of God increase together. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, I'm so thankful that you've called us to be a part of the largest enterprise that has ever been known to man. You have called us to be a part of your church. And that all other institutions and organizations will eventually end. But there will be one that withstands and continues to be forever. And we thank you that that is the church. We all have a purpose and a role to play in your kingdom. And we understand that it is our privilege to be in service with you and for you in this kingdom you have ushered in. Lord, when you walked this earth, you were telling this good news. You said, the kingdom of heaven has come near. And Lord, we still pray that today, that we would understand your spirit has connected with our spirit, that you live within us so that we can have your peace. When the world wants to say that there's nothing significant that happens, that all that you see is all that there is, I am so glad we have a higher perspective, one that calls us to be in communication with you and with others and to share your good news. We love you, Lord. In your most gracious and holy name we pray. Amen.